Morning and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning with verse 21. That is page 211 in your pew Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 21. Let's stand together as we read God's word. First Samuel chapter 1. We're going to read beginning in verse 21 and read through verse 28 through the end of the chapter. So let's read God's word together. The man Elkanah and all his household went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up. For she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and remain there forever. I will offer him as a Nazirite for all time." Her husband Elkanah said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him only. May the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. She brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me the petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is given to the Lord." She left him there for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Saint Francis of Assisi lived over 800 years ago, but he was a man of great prayer. I came across one of his prayers that I want to read to you as we begin this message regarding Hannah and her son Samuel. "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, let me sow pardon. Where there is doubt, let me sow faith. Where there is despair, let me give hope. Where there is darkness, let me give light. Where there is sadness, let me give joy. O divine master, grant that I may not try to be comforted, but to comfort. Not try to be understood, but to understand. Not try to be loved, but to love. Because it is in giving that we receive. It is in forgiving that we are forgiven, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life." That prayer serves as a great jumping off point for today's message. Today I want to talk to you about giving when it hurts. Sometimes we hear people say, you know, you need to give till it hurts. But what I want to talk to you about today is not giving till it hurts, but giving when it hurts. And please, don't be anxious. I'm not going to talk to you about tithing, but about giving. And some lessons we can learn about giving from Hannah. First of all, Hannah was proactive in her giving. She was not a reactive giver. She was a proactive giver. She faced her place of hurt, her place of pain, in order to give. Because if you remember, it was at this yearly sacrifice each year where Hannah had to deal with her pain and her disappointment. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, it tells us that it's at the place of yearly sacrifice at Shiloh where Elkanah's other wife would always remind Hannah that she was barren. It says, because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. It was at Shiloh, at the place of yearly sacrifice, where Hannah, in pouring out her heart to God in prayer, is falsely accused by Eli of being a drunkard. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. As Hannah kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." It's at that continual place of pain, that continual reminder of her hurt, that continual reminder of what she's feeling inside, the anguish, the pain, the sorrow. It is at that place where Hannah decides, "I am going to turn my place of agony into an altar. I'm going to turn my place of pain into a place of praise. I am going to take that which has caused me pain for year after year after year, and I'm going to mark it off as a place that is going to become the place where I offer my greatest praise to God." She did not let her hurt become the central focus of her life. She decided that this place of pain in my life, this place of sorrow in my life, this place of agony in my life, I'm going to use this as the jumping off point to turn my life into a life of praise. I love what Hannah said to her husband. Now think about this. Hannah has waited for years and years for this boy to be born. Finally, Samuel is born. And Hannah had made a promise to God that if you'll give me a male son, I'll give him back to the Lord as long as he lives. Now, it would have been easy for others to say to Hannah, "Well, you know, Hannah, you can raise him right at home and teach him the ways of God. You don't have to really give him up. You can just say, 'Lord, I'm going to raise him and I'm going to keep him here at home. And then whatever you want to do with him when he becomes a grown man, Lord, you can do. But I'm just going to keep him here. Lord, I've waited a long time for this boy. I cried a lot of tears. I went through a lot of pain, a lot of suffering for this boy. And I'm not going to let him go. I'm going to raise him right, Lord, because your Bible says train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. So I'm going to train him up in the way he should go. And then when he becomes a grown man, Lord, you do with him what you want to then." But that is not what Hannah did. Hannah was proactive in her giving because she realized that if she was not proactive at the place of her pain, she would never overcome the place of her pain. She realized that the only way to get from here to there is to give sacrificially, to give to God out of my hurt. So this is what she says to her husband. It says, verse 22, "But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, 'As soon as the child is weaned,'" and listen to the next four words, "'I will bring him.'" Not you. I'm not going to send him off with you because it's too painful for me to leave him there. No, I will bring him that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and remain there forever. And now listen to the next four words she says, "I will offer him as a Nazirite for all time." This is my offering. This is my pain. I'm going to give out of my hurt. I'm going to give out of my pain. I'm going to give out of my suffering. I'm going to take ownership of it. I'm going to take ownership of where I am in my life, and I am going to give to God. Now again, don't anybody think, "Oh, he's getting ready to take up a special offering." I'm not talking about that, although it's not a bad idea. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about moving out of your place of pain and saying, "I'm going to turn my pain into praise. I'm not going to camp here in the land of sorrow and self-pity, but I'm going to take a step of faith and I'm going to bring to God out of my pain, out of my suffering, a gift. I'm going to send him. I'm going to take him. I'm going to deliver him. It's my hurt. It's my pain. And it is my sacrifice. So it's going to be my praise." Elkanah, I'm not going to let you take my testimony away from me. He's going to be my testimony. Next Sunday in church, when Pastor Rodney says, anybody got anything they want to share with the Lord? Elkanah, you're not going to stand up and say, well, you all know we took Samuel to the temple. No, Elkanah, I'm going to stand up. And I'm going to say, you remember all those years that I offered up a prayer request because I was barren and how sorrowful I was and how it hurt me. But I want to tell you, God gave me a boy, and just last week, I gave him back to the Lord. She refused to let Elkanah do what she was going to do because she understood that Elkanah could not deal with her pain. Only God could deal with that. Hannah recognized that giving is always a sacrifice. Giving is always a sacrifice. If it's not a sacrifice, we're really not giving. Giving is a sacrifice. Notice 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 23 and 24. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. She brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. They slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. It was going to be a sacrifice. The writer of Hebrews tells us this. He says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. Your sacrifice, your giving, Your giving, our giving, is supposed to be a sacrifice. There's supposed to be a little bit of, okay, God, I'm doing this. I'm doing this in faith. I'm doing this by faith. I'm doing this, Lord, as a sacrifice to you. It's a sacrifice that is not based upon your circumstances. David said in the 103rd Psalm, beginning in verse 2, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desire with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. That is that sacrificial giving. That's that giving that says, I don't feel like it today. I don't feel good today. If I look at my life, it looks terrible right now, but I'm going to give God a sacrifice of praise. I am going to praise the Lord. I'm going to bless the Lord. Rather than counting my problems, I'm going to count my benefits. Forget not all his benefits. And when you start focusing on your pain and your problems and all the bad things that are going on in your life, you know what we're doing? When we do that, we're forgetting his benefits. And David said, forget not all his benefits. I have to remind myself, because if you don't remind yourself, you know what you do? You forget all his benefits. So we have to remind ourselves of the benefits of God. We have to remind ourselves every day, Lord, I want to thank you. I've got breath. I want to thank you that I've got life today. I want to thank you that I'm going to run into somebody today and I'm going to be able to bless them. I'm going to be able to tell them, look what the Lord has done in my life. I think Lee and Shanna live out in Chamonix, and they're always telling me that we look out in our backyard sometimes and there's 10, 12 deer laying there. Now, they haven't asked me to come over and hunt yet. But you know what they're able to do? They're able to see that, and that's a blessing of God. That is God bringing nature into their backyard and saying, look. Every time Sherry and I go out on our sunroom and look at the bird feeder, almost every time she'll say, look, red cardinal on the platform. Why? It's because God is giving that us to us so we can say, look what I've done. Look at the beauty of this flower, of this bird. Look at the beauty of these yellow roses today. It is God saying, don't forget me. Don't forget my benefits. Don't get so wrapped up in, well, let me tell you what's going on now. No, when we get doing that, we start forgetting his benefits. I'm going to tell you what, I work for a company, and I can get up and say, I just hate my job, I don't like my job. But you know what, every 2 weeks when a paycheck comes, I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Forget not all his benefits. Psalm 145, verse 1 and 2. David says, I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Whenever I feel like it, I will praise you. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a misprint. Every day I will praise you. Every day I will praise you. Lord, am I praising you every day? Am I bringing you a sacrifice of praise? Am I giving to you even when I'm hurting? Every day? Even Mondays? Even Monday at 8 o'clock, Lord, you want me to say, thank you, Lord? Even when somebody cuts you off in traffic? Even when somebody did, like this week, I was driving down the road and I'm coming around a curve and this guy was flying and he came around the curve into my lane. Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Lord. You protected me. He's an idiot, Lord, but you protected me. Every day, the psalmist said, I will praise you every day. Even when I don't feel like it. Psalm 35, verse 28, my tongue will proclaim your righteousness, your praises all day long. Lord, you expect me to praise you all day long? 150 Psalm, verse 5, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Are you breathing this morning? Then God is looking at you and saying, everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My heart's beating. My lungs are working. Thank you, Lord. Every day, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hannah understood that when you give out of your hurt, it changes the environment of your life. And we're wrapping it up. Sacrificial giving changes the dynamics of your life and the lives of others. The way this chapter ended, Hannah says this in the New Revised Standard Version. We read it, verse 28. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is given to the Lord. She left him there for the Lord. But now listen to how some others translated this. Eugene Peterson in The Message put it this way. And now I have dedicated him to God. He's dedicated to God for life. Then and there, they worshiped God. The Amplified Bible, therefore I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord, and they worship the Lord there. The New International Version, so now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. The New King James Version, therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. Now, moms, I want you to picture this. I can remember as a dad when our oldest son, Sean, left. He had left home after his sophomore year of college, went and lived with his best friend until he finished college. Then when he finished college, he got accepted at the University of Florida for medical school. The last day before he left, he and I drove that day. I said, hey, I want to spend the day with you. And we drove over to Crawfordville, and we played golf together. And then I drove him down to St. Mark's, and we stopped at the River Cafe, and we sat right out there on the water, and we ate mullet. And then I got him home. I brought him to our house, and he took a shower, and he changed clothes, and he hugged us goodbye, and he got in his car, and he drove away. He was going to Gainesville, 150, 160 miles away. It's not like he was leaving to go to China. I walked back inside the house, and I walked into the bedroom where he used to sleep when he lived at home, and there laying on the bed was the baseball cap that he wore that day while we played golf. I sat down on the bed. I cried like a baby. It just broke my heart. I mean, I sobbed, boo-hooed. I can't imagine how Hannah felt that day when she got up and got Samuel dressed, fed him his breakfast. She and Elkanah begin the journey from where they lived to Shiloh. They start approaching the tabernacle. Hannah knows what's getting ready to happen. She brings that little 3, 4, 5-year-old boy in after her and her husband have offered a sacrifice on the altar. Then she brings that little boy and she walks up to Eli and she says, "Sir, I don't know if you remember or not, but a few years ago I was standing right over there praying, and I was praying for this little boy, and now I'm bringing him to God." And I can see her, tears welling up in her eyes. And she kneels down in front of that little boy. And I can see her she adjusts his collar a little bit. And she says, "Samuel, you know Mama and Daddy love you. There's nothing in the world we wouldn't do for you, son. But God's got a call on your life. And we gave you to the Lord before you were ever even conceived. So we're going to leave you here, but Mama and Daddy are going to be praying for you, and next year Mama's coming back to see you." She grabbed that little boy in her arms. She hugged him. The tears from her eyes fell on his little shoulders. And then I can hear Hannah say to him, "But before we go, Mama and Daddy are going to kneel down, and we're going to give thanks to God." It says they worshiped the Lord there. I can see her husband kneel down and they place their arms around that little boy and they begin to say, "Lord, we want to thank you. You heard our prayer. Here's our boy. Your hand's on his life. You're going to guide him and lead him and use him. He's going to be powerful in the kingdom, Father. And we just want to give you thanks, Lord. Our hearts are breaking. Lord, you know we're going to cry all the way home. And when we get home and we get up in the morning and we sit down to breakfast, we're going to look and there's Samuel's little chair and Samuel's not going to be there. But Father, we made a promise that no matter what was going on in our lives, we were going to bring you a sacrifice. We're going to give him to you, Lord, even though it hurts." And they left him there. I love the way the Bible says they worshiped the Lord there. Do you want to stay down? As my dad used to say, do you want to keep the mully grubs? Then keep talking about your problems, your pains, how you're being mistreated, how life's not good anymore. All the bad things are going on. Keep talking about that. And you know what happens when you talk that? It changes the dynamics of your life and the people around you. But if you want to attract a crowd, if you want people to draw to you, start talking upbeat. Let me tell you what God's doing. I'm going to keep talking about God. I'm going to talk about His power. I'm going to talk about His blessings. I'm going to talk about the good things of God. Now, you're saying, "Rodney, you mean we can't share prayer requests and we can't share what's going on?" No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that even in the midst of this painful situation in Hannah's life, she said, "I'm going to bless the Lord before I leave this house." Samuel, the last, what's going to be on your mind tonight when you're laying in a strange bed for the first time and your mama and daddy are back home? What's going to go through your mind is the last thing mama and daddy did with me was to kneel down with me and say, "Thank you, Lord, for this boy you've given us." I don't know what chapter of your life you're in right now. I do know that 1 Samuel began with Hannah in great pain and disappointment. She was the object of scorn and ridicule. Her heart was broken. But that was not the end of Hannah's story. Hannah turned the story around. She made sure that the end of the chapter was different than the beginning of the chapter. The tears she said at the beginning of the chapter were tears of sorrow. The tears she shed at the end of the chapter were tears of joy and praise and worship. So I don't know what chapter in your life you're in right now. You may look and say, "Life is a bowl full of cherries for me," or you may look and say, "All I've got's the pits." But even in your hurt, even in your pain, even in your sorrow, even in your disappointment, even when you don't see anything or anybody changing, you can keep giving. You can continue giving. You can continue thanking God. You can keep on worshiping. You can keep on giving Him thanks. No matter what it is, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Follow the example of Hannah. What she and her husband did that day when they left that little boy marked that boy for the rest of his life. As we go further along and we read the story of Samuel, Samuel was a man who knew how to build an altar and make a sacrifice. Where did he learn it? He learned it from something that happened to him when he was a little boy of 4 or 5 years old. Mama and Daddy knelt down with me and they said, "Father, we want to thank you for this boy and we want to thank you for what you're going to do in his life." And Samuel changed a nation's destiny because he had a mama who came in the midst of hurt and pain and sorrow, and what all her neighbors were saying, "Hannah, that you're crazy. You shouldn't do that." But she brought that little boy to the Lord and said, "Lord, I want to thank you that the tears I'm shedding today are tears of joy and gratitude. Father, I want to thank you today that your word is honest enough to tell us that in this world we shall have tribulation. But Jesus said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." We choose today, Father, to be people of good cheer. Lord, like Hannah, we choose to give even when it hurts. Like Hannah, we choose to say, "I have breath, and as long as I have breath, I'm going to praise the Lord." We choose today to say, "I may not feel like it. It may not look like things are going well, but I'm going to bring the sacrifice of praise." Lord, we can change this church. We can change our lives. We can change the lives of family members and friends. We can change this community as we become people who give even out of our hurt. And so I thank you. In Jesus' name, I'm reminded today, Father, that giving up your son hurt you deeply. So deeply, Father, that even your son, you heard him cry out to you, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But Lord, you gave. You gave, even when it hurt. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.